Okay, we're picking up the Gemara in Hayam at Aleph, the top of the Amud. Words is V'chol Makom Tamidei Chachamim. So the Mishnah told us that even where the custom was to work on Tisha B'Av, the Tamidei Chachamim should be machmir on themselves and refrain from working. And Rabbi Menachem Gamliel actually said that shouldn't just be Tamidei Chachamim; it should be everybody. Should be like a Tamidei Chacham. This matter should not work on Tisha B'Av. That's why he quoted Shulchan Aruch Agav also that the person should not be working on Tisha B'Av. That's not just for the Tamidei Chachamim; that's really for everybody. The Gemara just has points out a different analyzation between the machlokas between Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. Gemara points out, Lameimra, this is implying that Rabban Shimon Gamliel Savar Loi Chashin and Liyor, Rabbanan Savir and Chashin and Liyorad. Rabban Shimon Gamliel is not concerned about, this is like religious arrogance, the concept of yuhara. This comes up in different circumstances, different halachas, that a person who's doing a certain thing that's different than the entire community, so like let's call it, for certain many circumstances, that could be called yuhara, religious arrogance, and he's not supposed to be doing that, supposed to be showing off you're so frum that you're doing X, Y, and Z, and therefore he should not be doing so. So now when it comes to this Shiloh over here, Rabban Shimon Gamliel is not afraid that a person who's not working is going to be doing what's called, it's going to be violating religious arrogance and being arrogant in front of others by not working, even though, let's say, the custom was that people would be working on Tisha B'Av. Rabbanan Savar Chashin Liyor, however, the Rabbanan, who don't say this, L'chora, they don't hold over here that you should be like a Talmud Chacham necessarily. So then they apparently are afraid that we're afraid of religious arrogance. So the Gemara says, Va'ipcha Shemina Lehu. But we have a Mishnah in Brachos, which seems to imply the exact opposite. If you remember, actually, the Gemara in Brachos had this same exact Shakla Vitaria, the same exact back and forth, based on the Mishnah over here. So the Gemara has the same exact thing that we have in Pesachim. So Gemara says, Disnan, we learn in the Mishnah in Brachos, Chasan Emir Talikros Kriyat Shema Shalayla Rishon Kore, that if a chasan, a person who's getting married, wants to say Shema on the first night of his wedding, he is allowed to. That is the opinion of the Rabbanan, who apparently are not choshes for Yuara. And Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, Lo Kloritzam Yitol Hashem Yitol. And not everyone who wants to say Kriyat Shema has the right to say so. Now, what exactly is the religious arrogance over there? We have to give a little background to remind ourselves what the Gemara in Brachos was talking about. The Gemara in Brachos was talking about a case of the fact that the Gemara says that a person who's a chassan, and we see this even nowadays, is extremely tarred, he's extremely preoccupied with the mitzvah of getting married and all the inyanim that are involved. As the Shailan has shown him exactly what the what he's exactly preoccupied with, what is the tir de the mitzvah, what is he thinking about? Like one is that he's afraid that she's not going to be a basula, there's the maisa bia, that how he's going to have a relationship, he doesn't know how to do that, whatever it is, something is preoccupying him that would therefore make him putter from saying Kriyat Shema. So let's say he is able to concentrate. He says, you know what? I'm not going to be thinking about this other preoccupation. I can have my mind and concentrate and say Kriyat Shema. And that's also the concept. The Gemara over there was talking about Osek Mitzvah Patim and Mitzvah. This is Machlokas over there. The Chachamim said that you can say Kriyat Shema. So we're not afraid that he's going to be, oh, look at me. I have this religious arrogance over here. I'm saying Kriyat Shema even though the Chachamim told me that I'm Patur because I don't have the Kavanah. I can't have the Kavanah. So Chachamim aren't afraid of that. And Rabban Shimon Gamliel over here is saying that at the end of the day, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say Kriyat Shema. So we see that this is a stira, because over there, Rabban Shimon Gamliel is afraid of the religious arrogance of the Yuara, and the Chachamim are in fact not afraid of it. So how do we answer this Gemara? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mechlafes the Shita Mechlafes. No, you can't reconcile the two Shitas. Really, the Tana mixed up the Shitas. That one of them, since Rashi points out, we don't know which one should be inverted, which one should be flipped over. The Tosfos Yontav as a whole Mahalich, he thinks that the one in Brachos should be inverted. Okay, I'm not getting into that right now. But at the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan thinks that the two Shitas cannot be reconciled. Basically, if you hold of if you're afraid of religious arrogance, then that same Shita should hold when it comes to Kriyat Shema. You should not be saying Kriyat Shema, and you should not, and you can be doing Malacha and Erev Tisha B'Av, even if the minhag of the place is to do malacha, as opposed to the one who says that we're not afraid of that, and everyone should be like a Talmud Chacham and not do malacha on Tisha B'Av, even though the minhag is to do malacha, then that same shita would hold when it comes to Kriyat Shema. Then when it comes to Kriyat Shema, you are allowed to say Kriyat Shema the night where you're getting married. That's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Sheshes Brei Davidi, he says Amar Lo Sefach. No, you don't have to reverse the shitas. The Rabbanan and Rabbanan question, there's two different sugyas over here. They're not contradiction. Why not? The Rabbanan and Rabbanan is not a question. Because Hacha came under Kuli Amma Avdi Melacha. Because everyone here is doing work. They're having a work day. They're going to work on Tisha B'Av. Vilu Avid. And you are not going to work. You're staying home. Michzik Yiros. That appears like religious arrogance, so you shouldn't do that. Aval Hasam came into Kuli Amma Kari at the end of the day, over there. Everyone is davening Ma'ariv together. They're having a big Ma'ariv minyan. Everyone's saying Kriyat Shema. Vilu Namikar. So what are you doing? You're just saying Kriyat Shema with them. They don't like think about, oh, this guy, this Chasan is such a religious arrogance. They're just seeing that. It's not necessarily be viewed as religious arrogance. The Gemara continues, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Lokasha, also in regards to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, that's also not a contradiction with his opinion. Hasam, Mudavin, and Kavana, when regards to Shema, we say that you need full-fledged kavanah. You need concentration. You really need to be mechav into all the words and also the deeper kavanas. He's so preoccupied with the midst of getting married right now. We have an Anan Sadeh. We have a full-fledged Anan Sadeh is like there's Edom who can testify that this is the case, that he is not able to concentrate. So therefore, mechzikiru, then it's going to look like religious arrogance. But when everyone's working and this guy's not working, that's not considered religious arrogance. Why not? Because we saw this principle before. People are going to think he had a day off, he wasn't working, he's lazy. Look how many batlanim, look how many people are just bumming around and not necessarily going to work in a normal Tuesday afternoon. So what's the difference over here? He just didn't go to work. That's not religious arrogance. No one's going to think, oh look, he's violating the minhag hamakom. Not every single person in the town anyway is going to work. So therefore, that's not going to be of the problem of religious arrogance. So now, agav, it's just, again, when it comes to the halachas of Kriyat Shema, it's very fascinating. The whole halacha flipped on its end. The Rishonim already point out that nowadays we don't have kavana. So nowadays we don't have really, through the whole year, we're so busy, preoccupied, and there's different nafkaminas with regards to, like, say, the first bracha. If you don't have kavana, I'm not getting into that. But we had some hold that a person really doesn't have full-fledged kavana bizman azeh anyway. So what are we going to tell the chassan? The chassan, he's not going to have that much kavana anyway, but we always daven throughout the year without kavana. So therefore, the chassan dafka should say Kriyat Shema, and not only that, the Rishonim point out that if he decides that he's not going to say Kriyat Shema and he's pater, then that's religious arrogance. That is the URL. Why? Because he's showing, oh look at me, I have kavana the whole year. Only tonight I'm not able to have kavana because of the tirdei mitzvah. So it's very fascinating. The whole din flipped around. Mamisha 360 from what the din of the Gemara is. And this is how we paskin Shulchan Aruch, that we really paskin that he really should be saying Kriyat Shema the night of his wedding, because if he doesn't, it looks like arrogance. So look at me, the rest of the year, I'm able to have kavanah as opposed to not. And again, with regards to Tisha B'Av, the same thing that we really hold, that everybody should be avoiding doing melacha, like Rabban Gamliel, that we hold that a person should ideally not be doing melacha on Tisha B'Av, and that's what's mentioned as well. Now, the next Mishnah, so now it's very interesting. Going back, full circle, we got on the tangent, the Mishnayos, and that's related to the Gemara, discussing them, got on the tangent, about different Makom Shenagu. But really, we started off the parak about Makom Shenagu, Dafka, on Erev Pesach. So now the Gemara is going to go back and analyze that. So we have this other Mishnah here that says, V'chachamim said, B'Yehuda yu'osim malacha b'arvei psachim ad chatzos. In Yehuda, they would do malacha on Erev Pesach until chatzos, v'galil yu'osim kolikra. Whereas in Galil, they would not do so. Why is it according to these two places? The Gemara is going to analyze this. Halayla. What about the night before the 14th in a place where they don't do malacha the entire day before? So that's a machlokas b'shamay tzila. B'shamay, osir, b'shamay say that it's asr. I was supposed to be tzila. They say it's mutter adan itzachama. It's mutter. We actually discussed this a little bit. We got onto this Gemara a little bit on Beis Amud Beis. If you remember, with Bizman Chokas B'Shamay B'Tzila over there, B'Tzila hold that they were going to compare it to a fast day. Just like a fast day, we can have a concept where only starting in the morning, it's usher to eat. The night before, you're allowed to eat. So we see that you can split up the Isra Malacha as well, that even if you have the minhag to be machmir, not to do Malacha the whole day of the 14th, it doesn't have to start the night before. As opposed to Beis Shammai, you say, no, we don't, the end of the day, the night before goes after the day, and you should be machmir. Oh, so why doesn't it begin at Alosa Shachar? The Chonin pointed out, then it should start, not at Nates. We know the halachic day for almost all purposes is Alos HaShachar, that if you did any mitzvah after Alos HaShachar, Shaila, what is Alos HaShachar? But either way, we mentioned that already before about a meal, so let's assume 72 minutes before Netz HaChama is Alos HaShachar. If you do any mitzvah after that Zman of Alos HaShachar, B'di'evet, the Mishnah in Megillah tells you your Yotze. So really, we hold its day. We're just afraid you're going to get confused. So why over here doesn't it start Alos HaShachar? Why are you allowed until sunrise? So the Achronim discuss this. They say maybe because at the end of the day, that's the earliest time when people will go to work. And here's all of work. It's not necessarily a halachic day. So that's why B'Shamay extend the heter all the way up until sunrise, as opposed to Alos HaShachar. Okay. Now the Gemara just points out, though, Mikara Tana Minhaga. But at the beginning, the Tana taught in this Mishnah that it seemed to be only a minhag. The Mishnah told us on Daf Nun that at the end of the day, we have a Makom Shenagu not to do malacha on Erev Pesach, that lo lasos that you don't do, and a Makom Shenagu lasos that you would be allowed to do malacha. So this was clearly Makom Shenagu. That was a minhag. However, Levosof Tana Yisrael, over here, we said in the Lashon of B'Shamay that it's Aser. B'Shamay Ostrim, the Lashon of Aser, not just like Makom Shenagu, it's Aser to do malacha the night before. So B'Shamay clearly understands that it's full-fledged Aser, Iser to do malacha on Erev Pesach, if that's your, not mitzad minag, it seems to be Aser. So how do we answer this? The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Lokasha, this is not going to be a problem. Why not? Because Ha Rabbi Meir, Ha Rabbi Huda. The first ruling reflects the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and the second, our Mishnah is going to be that of Rabbi Huda. How do I know this? The sound of the Braisa tells me. The Braisa says the following. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, "Biyuda ayu osim malacha ba'arbi pesachim chatzos v'galil enosim kolikra." The Rabbi Yehuda said that in Yehuda they would do malacha on Erev Pesach until chatzos, and in Galil they wouldn't do it at all. So Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, Marayu de la Galakan, why are you just bringing two that's what I mentioned? We're going to mention these two. Why is Rabbi Yehuda mentioning two places? We had the Mishnah in Nafnun tell us that where is the Minhag to do Malacha, you're allowed to do Malacha. Minhag was not to do Malacha, you're not allowed to do Malacha. So why are you bringing me two places? One place did Malacha, one place did Malacha. Shkoyach. Any place that's going to be the case. Then that's what Rabbi Meir was really fundamentally bothered by, Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda. So clearly, what did Rabbi Meir understand about Das Rabbi Yehuda? That Rabbi Yehuda was actually telling us, like, that this full-fledged Isser, that in Galil, they didn't do Balachat Erev Pesach, that's actually an Isser for them, and not just a Minhag. And Rabbi Meir is saying, why you bring up Minhagim? This is just a regular classic example of something that's specifying what the Minhag should be. So that's the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and that of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says now, So what are we saying over here? We're saying in a place where the people follow the Minhag to perform Malacha on Erev Pesach, they're allowed to do the work. Makom shenagu shelola says eno, saying they're not allowed to do Malacha. So what do we see from over here? So now the Gemara is just going to flesh out the question I just explained. The fact that Rabbi Meir says that it's all about Minhag, that you're just mentioning Galil was the Minhag not to do Malacha, and in Yehuda they would do Malacha. So then, if that's the case, that was only a Minhag. So that implies that Rabbi Yehuda is saying specifically that we're going after full-fledged Isser over here, and it's not just a Minhag. So Rabbi Yehuda would be telling us that it's really Aser to do Malacha on Erev Pesach according to those in Galil, and that was their din that they paskin, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is saying, whereas in Yehuda, rather not Rabbi Yehuda, in Yehuda it would be only it would say that it would be mutter. So we see that really that's machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Meir, whether it's Isser or Minhag. So now those two Mishnayos are reflecting those two different opinions. That is what the Gemara wants to conclude over here. The Gemara says, is that really true though? Rabbi Yochanan, is there true? Is that true? V'savar Rabbi Yehuda arbasar mutter basias malacha. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that you're allowed to do malacha on the 14th day of Nisan v'atanya v'abreisa in a different context and completely with regards to? I'll just give the background now already. With regards to the Isser of Chadash, it's usher to have any, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to bring the Omer. The Omer was the Mincha of barley that was brought on the second day of Pesach, meaning on Tezai Nisan, on the 16th of Nisan. And this Korban would be allow anyone to have any of the new grains under taken root beforehand. So that is the halacha with regards to Chadash. And anything after that is usher. We've discussed in the past, does Chadash apply in Chutz La'aretz? That is, the Shulchan Aruch says yes. The Rosh, Rambam, Rif, pretty sure all three paskin yes as well. That's a big question. Why are Ashkenazim, Mekel, Sfardim, seemingly even Sfardim now, but for some reason adopted in more modern times, adopted the kula of the Ashkenazim, which is a big pella because it's Mamash Shulchan Aruch, and it's a Mamash also Rif, Rosh, Rambam. The Ramah has a kula that we try to rely on as fake sveka. We try to say different haterim. There are different haterim that are brought down, but it's a very big question why we don't keep chad. I mean, there are many who do, by the way. There's not more and more beats in the Gra. There are many people, a lot of the Hamish Hachshirim you'll see will be Machmir and will specifically say Yashan. And many restaurants and many pizza stores will also be Yashan because there are many people who are Machmir for this. But either way, this is the concept of Yashan and Chadash. So now, what is this theory? The Mishnah, the Braisa tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Oymer HaManakesh B'Shloshasar, someone who's weeding a field on the 13th of Nisan, V'Nekar B'Yado, and a grain became uprooted from the ground. And now he wants to put it back in, so he's worried that it has to take root before the 16th of Nisan. So says Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to replant it as long as it's a moist ground. If it's moist, then you could assume that it's going to take root before the 16th, and therefore it would be mutter to eat it that year. However, you should not replant it in a place that doesn't rain, because if we're afraid, if it's in a place that doesn't rain, it is not going to take root, and therefore it's not going to take root on time by the 16th, in which case it's going to be usher, and it's going to be with the rest of your field, which is mutter, lechora, you're going to get confused, so you should not be planting it again. So now the Gemara wants to bring up so that was the point of Chadash, but the Gemara has an inference from this. So the Gemara says, b'shlosha asar in, that implies specifically on the 13th of Nisan, the farmer is allowed to replant an uprooted grain. B'arbasar lo, however, on the 14th, he's not allowed to. But why does Rabbi Yehuda say that it's usher on the 14th? Why shouldn't he say that it's mutter on the 14th? Mifti, why should it be mutter? So says the Gemara. Because we could let's analyze this. Shamina le Rabbi Yehuda de Amar kol arkova shenakoletes lo shoshen yom shenakoletes. So how many days does it take to take root? We're talking about again. The Torah tells you anything that's chadash that doesn't take in root is going to be usher to have that year. Now, what is considered taking root? So Rabbi Yehuda says when it comes to the concept of grafting, when it comes to grafting, anything that doesn't take hold within 3 days is not going to take hold. And similarly, we're apparently comparing the fact that when you plant something, also it takes 3 days to take root. That is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. And then we're now applying the concept of what's called mikta sayom kikulo, that part of the day halakhically is like the rest of the day. So therefore, we could say the following: if you're going to assume that the 14th is permitted to work on the 14th of Nisan, lama lish loshes, or the wise Rebbe require you to plant it on the 13th, va'ikar basar, va'chamisar, mikdash shitzar. At the end of the day, we have the 14th, part of the 14th, the full day of the 15th, and the part of the 16th, we have the concept of mikdash yom kekulo. Even though we only have part of those, the first day and the last day, still, it's considered halachically 3 days. And that's 3 days, that's going to be taking root, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that should be enough. Why does he require you to do it on the 13th? So seemingly, from the fact that it doesn't have a lacha of chadash, that he's telling you to do it on the 13th, it seems to be that he would say that it's actually usher to plant it on the 14th. That's the only reason Rabbi Yehuda telling you not to plant it on the 14th, because really it should have been mutter mitzad chadash. Mitzad the fact that it would have taken root, halachically it takes root, so that's not a problem. The only problem is mitzad, the other aspect of it, which is the fact that at the end of the day right now, it is usher to do malacha on Erev Pesach. So that's what Gemara is implying. Gemara says, two terutzim. Amar Rav, Rav says maybe begalil shenu, that this halacha with regards to Rabbi Yehuda, he was talking in Galil, where he was telling you where it's aser in Achanami. They hold it's mamish aser do malacha on the 14th. So he's telling you the halacha aliba that din over there. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. According to Galil though, Ika Lelia, at the end of the day, you could have done it at the 14th of night. Lel Yadalid. Why don't you do it at the 14th of night? So if you do it. If you do it at the 14th of night, at the end of the day, that would not be a problem. So the Gemara says, even according to Anshei Galil, the Gemara says, no, maybe Amar Rav Yishai says, Kivei Shammai, Rabbi Yehuda was in the Shita of Beis Shammai, who in fact tell you that it's usher to do the Malacha even on the night of the 14th. As Shaila, why would Rabbi Yehuda have to feel the need to do it Aliba de Beis Shammai? The Gemara is going to give another suggestion that says not that way, but what was the Havamin over here? So the Tosafot Rosh paints out, maybe he just wants to make a statement according to all opinions. In Echanami, we don't pass like Beis Shammai, but it's just easier. Let's make it Aliba to everybody. But in Echanami, according to Beis Hillel, you would have been able to do Malacha on the 14th. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, no, look at Beis Hillel. Really, Rabbi Yehuda was talking about Beis Hillel, the fishing dark on Shemini Adam, the Nakash Lai. He was just telling a different reason why he doesn't mention doing it on the night of the 14th, because nobody goes out to the field in the middle of the night and is starting to weed them. That's not the practice. They used to do malacha from the end of day and then until nighttime, whenever the shkia was, whenever Tezak Kolchavim was, Anachnu Osim Malacha, the Gemara Brachos quotes that pasuk in Nechemia, that we do malacha from Alos HaShachar till Tezak Kolchavim. That is when they did malacha. That's the full work day. People stopped working at nighttime. No one worked in the middle of the night. They didn't have lights like we do. So people wouldn't work in the middle of the night. Must have been nice in the winter when they got to end the job at like 4:30. Either way, so the Gemara says that people don't work, so that's just a mitzvah. That's why he doesn't mention the night before. The Gemara gives another explanation. Ravina says different tarets. Ravina Mar Olav Yehuda. Really, Rabbi Yehuda was talking the brayso with regards to Yehuda as well. Uvar Shasha, and he was talking in respect to the plants taking root. Chad mitzvah yam kukul aminan. Because at the end of the day, you're applying mitzvah yolam on double end. If you wanted to have him to work on the 14th, you're not planting it the second the 14th came in. You're planting it, let's say, an hour into the day of the 14th. So you don't have the full day of the 14th. Then I have the full day of the 15th. But then even on the 16th, I don't have the full day. They bring the Ormer in the morning time. So you're saying two different mitzvah yam kukulos. So says Ravina, you can't say that twice. You can't say that twice. Chad mikdash yom kulo aminan, trei mikdash yom kulo lo aminan. Now, how does that extend to other halachas? It's a shad in the achronim. Do we apply this? We can apply this to other halachas where we do say mikdash yom kulo. Can we say it on a double end? Usually, we assume you do, but I'm not getting into that right now. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Meir continues. Nesh Mishnah. Mishnah says Rabbi Meir only merkam malacha sheyischa ba kodem rabasar. Any malacha that was done beginning that began before the 14th, gomer rabasar. You're allowed to finish it on the 14th, but loyaschel ba betchilas barbaser. However, you should not begin a malacha on the 14th af b'shel chalachamer, even though you can't finish it before chatos. So that's going to be the shayla. What exactly Rav Meir was discussing? The Gemara is going to have three different options. We'll get to that in a moment. The chachamim say shlosh umnayas osim malacha barbe fesachem on chatos. That three people are allowed to do malacha before chatos. And we're talking about even in all places where the minhag was not to do malacha, even they would be allowed to do that. The Gemara is going to analyze why. And these are the three people: chayatim, asparim, makosin. If you have a tailor, a barber, or people who do laundry, because the Gemara is going to explain that it was l'tzor chamoid. We'll get into that. So the Gemara and the Rabbi Yossi Ryuda, he finishes off after etzanin. Even shoemakers are also allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach, even when makam shenagu to not do malacha. So this is the Gemara Bailu. We have a question. L'tzor chamoid etzan. Did the Mishnah say in Rabbi Meir's name that one may never begin a malacha in the morning of the 14th, even to finish a malacha that's mutter for the tzor chamoid? But if it's not l'tzor chamoid, afilu migmar nami l'gmiran. Even not just to do start a new malacha, but even to finish a previous malacha is going to be aser. So this is the biggest chumrah of the three malachim we're going to have. According to this one, that according to this interpretation we're saying right now, that according to Rabbi Meir, you're only allowed to complete a malacha which you already started, and B, it has to be l'tzor chamoid. You need both those factors according to Rabbi Meir. Oh, dilma shel l'tzor chamoid tanan. Or maybe the Mishnah is telling you, the Rabbi Meir is telling you that you're allowed to complete a malacha of a l'tzorach eschudim eschudanin. Only completing malacha, that if it's the l'tzorach, so then it would be more meikel, that you'd be allowed to finish any malacha that you don't even need for Pesach. However, I'd even be allowed to start a malacha if it's done for the tzorach of the moed. I'm doing something, a long tzorach malacha. I'm preparing my shoes or something like that, going to the cleaners. something that would take me a long time and a big tircha, that would be mutter if it's a tzorach hamoed disaster meir, even to start it, if I didn't start it the previous day. Or, odilma bein l'tzorach hamoed l'tzorach, or bekwe, the third sheet here says it doesn't matter whether or not it's l'tzorach hamoed or not, rather, migmar im et chulin lo, that you can't start a new malacha. We're just afraid it's going to take you too long and get preoccupied. You have a lot to do in Erev Pesach. You shouldn't be doing a new malacha no matter what, even if it's l'tzorach hamoed, a big malacha. However, to finish a malacha that you already started, would it matter according to this interpretation whether or not it was l'tzorach hamoed? So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a proof in the Braisa. Aval lo yasko b'tchila barbasar. You shouldn't begin to manufacture them on the 14th or start something new on the 14th. Afilo tzilta katan, even a small belt. Afilo shelfa katan, even a small hairnet. So now the Gemara wants to bring the proof. Maya afilo, what does it mean even making a small belt or the hairnet? Alav afilo hane l'tzorach hamoed, even these things which are necessary for the yichol hamoed or the rest of the yomtivs. Migmar in, so we're telling you that you should only allow to be finishing them as chulilo. They're not allowed to finish them. So this is going to be like the first sheet of the most machmir. Even if it's lola tzorach, you are not allowed to even finish a malacha, which is like the most machmir one, that only for tzorach hamoed and only finishing it. So the Gemara says, no, maybe you can reject this proof. Lo, la'olam d'shalot tzorach migmar na migmar mina. That really, and the truth is, we're saying that you, when it comes to malacha for yomtiv, that you're allowed to be. It's allowed to be completed on the 14th. My afilo, so what is the lashon of afilo? That afilo shavcha ktana, even a small hair. Now, what's the lashon of afilo? So we're telling you that afilo nami dezutrei nino, that these things are so small, I would have thought, that's not really considered starting a new malacha, says the Gemara. I would have thought the satan, like, amina eschilasan zoik maraz malachtan, that when you're doing it, you finish it in one shot. It's so simple, it's so easy. So therefore, I would have thought that that's not considered, to do a new malacha. Rather, this is just continuation of malacha. That's what the Mishnah has to tell you. Naschabu naschilin kamash malan. Therefore, the Braisa has to tell you that it is, in fact, usher to start these malachas, even though seemingly insignificant and not hard. That's not considered finishing a previous malacha, because at the end of the day you're starting something new. So therefore we don't have a raya whether or not we're going like the shita number one or shita number two. L'chor, we actually have rejected shita number three, but l'maisa, this is, we don't have a conclusive proof in Das Rabbi Meir. Is he being machmir even finishing a malacha? Is finishing a malacha even only going to be mutar l'torah chamoed? So the Gemara says, maybe you can bring another proof. Tashma, we have another bracer. Rabbi Meir, Omer, kol malacha shi l'torah chamoed. Any malacha which is l'torah chamoed, turning on to the next Amud now. Gomna barbasar, any malacha which is l'torah chamoed, you're allowed to finish it on the 14th, even a place where the minhag was not to work on that day. So that says the Gemara, emasai, when is that true? Bizman shi'ischa bakol barbasar, when you have done the malacha before the 14th. But ever, if it didn't do the malacha before the 14th, lo yitzchil barbasar, you shouldn't start a new malacha on the 14th. Afilo tzilta katan, afilo shavcha ktana. Even a small hairnet, which can be completed on the 14th. So the Gemara says, l'tzorach hamoed in, that this is only implying that for the if you have a malacha which is so tzorach hamoed, then that's the only thing you're allowed to finish. However, shlo tzorach hamoed, that implies, like again, the most machmir shita, that at the end of the day, you're only allowed to complete the malacha, and only if it's a tzorach hamoed. So you need those two tonight, like the first machmir shita. The Gemara says, no. Hu adin da'afilu tzorach hamoed nami garminan. That either where the malacha is, that we're saying that you're even allowed to finish a malacha which is not necessary for the tzorach hamoed. V'akamash malan da'afilu tzorach hamoed, that even if it is necessary for the tzorach hamoed, migmar in aschilor. The chiddush of Rabbi Meir is that you're not allowed to start it. You're not allowed to start a new malacha, even though it's a tzorach hamoed according to Rabbi Meir. You're not allowed to start a malacha on the 14th. So that is not, again, we don't have a proof whether or not Rabbi Meir would tell you that it's mutter the most machmir, that it's only mutter to finish something with tzorach hamoed. Are you allowed to, at the end of the day, the Braisa could be explained either way, the Fishi does Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says Tashmas, and now we have another proof for Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir, Omer, kum malacha shi l'tzorach hamoed, em malacha which is done for l'tzorach hamoed, gomer ba'basar, you're allowed to finish it on the 14th, v'sh'in l'tzorach hamoed, which is not done for the moed, usher, it's going to be usher to finish it on the 14th, v'osim malacha b'ravi p'sach l'chatzos b'makum sh'anagu, and we are allowed to malacha d'ar Pesach until chatzos, in a place where they have the minhag to do on Ar Pesach. It's permitted this place to do a malacha in the morning of the 14th, even if it's not l'tzorach hamoed. So the Gemara wants to bring a proof from here. Malcolm Shinagoim, the implication is, according to this price, that the only place where they allow the minhag to work on Erev Pesach, a person is allowed to finish a malacha if it's not l'tzorach hamoed. However, lo anagulo, but if they don't have the minhag, meaning if they have the minhag rather to not work, is to refrain from working on Erev Pesach, then a person is not allowed to finish a malacha l'tzorach if it's not l'tzorach hamoed. Shmami, no, we learn from here, l'tzorach hamoed, and only if it's something is going to be necessary for the malacha of the moed, then according to Rabbi Meir, it is going to be mutter, shalo l'tzorach hamoed, lo. And the Gemara says, Shmami, not really, that is a good proof that at the end of the day, we're going like the most Shita, that according to Rabbi Meir, you need those two conditions. A, it needs to be only finishing a malacha, not starting a malacha. Starting a malacha is usher, even if it's a Torah Chamoed, according to Rabbi Meir. And the second thing is that only finishing it is going to be mutter, the second thing is has to be the Torah Chamoed. You need those two conditions. Now, the Mishnah tells the Chachamim Shlosh Umnios. The Chachamim said that you really need three, that they have these three people. So again, now the Chachamim really agree with Rabbi Meir with regards to the fact that you shouldn't be doing a new malacha on Erev Pesach, but they make exceptions with these three cases. So that the Gemara is going to discuss why they have this regulation. Tana, we learn by so chayatim. The tailors also are going to be mutter to start a job on Erev Pesach. Why? Because she can head your tofer kedarka b'chol moed. Because a person who's not a craftsman is allowed to sew in the usual manner during chol moed. Now the halachas of chol moed are the shaila in the Gemara. Shaila Rishonim had a paskim. It's a derais the rabbanon to violate malacha and chol moed. Either way, we're very machmir about halacha hilchas chol moed about not doing malacha. So when it comes to hilchas malacha over there is an exception with regards to chol moed, with regards to sewing, that if it's something which a regular person is not a maisa uman, with regards to when it comes to specifically when it comes to a tailor, so then also that would be mutter. So since you have this halachic heter, halachic dispensation over there with regards to malacha on erev on chol moed, which is more machmir than erev Pesach, so then you should also, according to this price, so you should also be allowed to have someone tailor things on erev Pesach. So Gemara says, Atzaparim Vakosin, also, when it comes to someone who's a barber, or a person who does laundry, in the laundromat, so those are also permitted to do on the 14th. Why? Because we have a heter also by Chol HaMoed. Shekein, Habam Midasayam, Mayotam Midasayam, someone who is someone who comes from a faraway place, or he comes out of jail, they're allowed to cut their hair and do laundry during Chol HaMoed. We know that those are two big chumras, the big dinim rather, yet you're not allowed to cut your hair. We're afraid that the person's not going to take care of his getting a haircut before Yantiv. He's going to do it on Chol HaMoed, so that we have an iser to get a haircut. That's why shaving is a big shayla. Rav Moshe has a heter, but Lamaisa and only Rav Moshe, by most majority of Achronim after him, had not been accepted about shaving. That since people shave every day, I think as far as I'm not mistaken, and look it up again, that the people, as far as something along the lines, I think people, since people shave, that you can really, it's not considered an iser to shave on Chol HaMoed because you're preparing anyway. But Lamaisa, Rav Moshe has not been accepted. Most people reject that Rav Moshe and are machmir about even if you shave every day, shaving on Chol HaMoed is very problematic. That is the getting a haircut Kol Shekein is going to be usher again, unless there was these examples where it was EF Shar beforehand. And that is the halacha with regards to, and also the same thing with laundry. Laundry also are very machmir about. The person shouldn't be doing laundry on Chol HaMoed either. Now, there is a heter though. There is a heter if a person hadn't had a chance to do so before, he was in jail, whatever. That's a shayla about children's clothing. Maybe that's considered like you couldn't do it before because they get dirty all the time. They're soiled all the time. So maybe you'd be allowed to do laundry for that. Not getting into those shaylas right now. But at the end of the day, that is, these are things that come up for Chol HaMoed. So here, there are a special halacha keter where it was not available to do so before. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, even shoemakers, they are allowed to make new shoes on the 14th. Because people are going up to the Aliyah Regal, they're allowed to fix their shoes. So basically, the Gemara was making a klal. Whenever something was mutter on Chol HaMoed, so then really we can have a special heter on Erev Pesach because Erev Pesach is less chumar. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Behuda, who's adding in the case of fixing shoes, what are they arguing about? Because the Tanakhama didn't mention adding in shoes, the Rabbanan rather. So the Gemara says, the maiden tchilas malacha masof malacha. Rabbi Yossi says we can derive the fact starting a new malacha from the completion of repairing the shoes, so we can learn that halacha. Mar Savar, ilam maiden tchilas malacha masof malacha. I suppose the Chama they hold that you're not allowed to learn the halacha of starting a malacha of from completing the shoes to the halacha of the end of the day to the other halachas that we mentioned before. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chacham. And the Gemara, now the next Mishnah, Moshvin, Shovach b'Taknol Merbasa. I don't have the Metzia so much. I'm not someone who deals with eggs and hens so much, but Lamaisa, this is the Mishnah is talking about a place where you have, where they place hens under them for them to sit on in order to have them to hatch. So v'tarnagola shebarcha, in a case where the animal ran away, machzir nosa lemakomi, you're allowed to put it back. This is again on Erev Pesach. V'imesa, if the hen died while doing this, moshavin acharis tachta, you're allowed to put another one there. Gorfin mitachas ragla b'emar basar, you're allowed to clear away the excrement from under an animal's body, under its feet on the 14th and get rid of it. V'moid mishalkalat sadin, however, during Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to move it to the sides, not allowed to get rid of it completely. Again, it's more malacha, so therefore on a Chol HaMoed, you're more machmir. Malochin kele mivin mivesa uman, you're allowed to take utensils and bring them to the craftsmen, even though they're not necessarily for the yomtiv. So the Gemara says, Hashta osi mosvinos. Now the Mishnah told us that we're allowed to place eggs under the hen for it to hatch. So during my bais, and why does it tell me I'm allowed to return the hen? If I'm allowed to put it there, lechachilah and kosher again, I'm allowed to then bring it back if it ran away. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, say for the latter part of the Mishnah, is teaching you the Chiddush, Asan, lechol shemoed, is actually teaching you even on Chol HaMoed. The malacha on Chol HaMoed is that you're allowed to put it back. And you're not allowed to put it there to start that situation. However, on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to be putting it, the hen back. The Gemara says, Amar Ravuna, Ravuna says, that this halacha is only, in the case of Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to return it only if it takes place within the first 3 days of it leaving. The akasi leparach timra mine, because during that period, the key to the desire to have the hen hatch is not left the animal, so therefore it would happen. However, after 3 days of it not being there, the pasul by the gemara, because in that day she ruined the eggs, in which case then it's going to be a tirchay aser. After 3 days, the parach timra miyasa completely left her, no longer able to have the hen hatch. At that point, then the mishnah is telling the rabbi is telling you, then it would be a tirchay aser, in which case it's usher to do tirchay aser, even we're seeing over here, even letzorach a hefsed meruba a hesed rather than hefsed meruba letzorach a hefsed. The general, when it comes to malacha on malacha on cholamoid, the general halacha is that if it's just to be menias hefsed, then it would be potentially mutter to do that thing on cholamoid. Here the chiddush is that if it's a tirchei asera, even to stop a hefsed is going to be asra. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, so they're going to have so he says within 3 days also the kasalab tzidah by the gamay, in which case the eggs are not completely ruined. Lomarjin, you're not allowed to return the hen to place it on the eggs. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami amar afilu tov social yeshivas marjinan, that even within 3 days of cholamoid you would be allowed to do this. And Gemara says, my kalifik, what are the machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Ami? Mar sefer lehefsim ruba chashu. Rav Huna says that when the banan are going to be concerned with a substantial loss, they have some ruba, big one, lehefsim ruba lo chashu. However, a minimal loss, they're not going to be allowing you to these 3 days, we're not going to have this heter. With reference to Rav Ami, he says that the rabbanan are concerned even about a small loss on chalamoid, and that would be mutter even to prevent a small loss. Now the Mishnah continued. The Mishnah says, "Gorfin mitachas the ragli beima." You're allowed to clear away the excrement from under the animals on the 14th to get rid of it on chalamoid only till it's studded. The Gemara says, "Taner rabbanan we quote a brisa hazevel shabachatim salkin osel it's studded." When it comes to the excrement that's in the courtyard, you're allowed to move it out of the courtyard. Shabarefes shabachatim motzin osel the ashpa. If you have some sort of thing, the excrement's in a stable or in a courtyard, you let her move it outside the courtyard. So Gemara says, "Hagul v'kasha." The brisa seems to be associating herself minei obey. Amar zevel shabachatim salkin osel studded. You say in one place that the excrement that's in the courtyard, you have to move them to the side. Vader Tani, learn in the next place, you take it out of the courtyard and put it in the ashpa. So you're allowed to take it all the way to the garbage. So which is it? So which one is it? You take it out or you move it to the side? So the Gemara says, Marbaya Lokasha. There is no machlokas. Kan Barbasa, one is talking about Erev Pesach. And Kan Bechalamoid, when it comes to Chalamoid, when Tircha Yisera is going to be Aser, so then the excrement's only allowed to be moved to the sides. Whereas Pesach, Erev Pesach, you're not allowed, you would be allowed rather to bring it all the way to the garbage. So the Gemara says, Rava, my Rava says different territory. Both of them are referring to chalamoid. This is what we're saying. If it becomes like a refes, in which case it's going to be, the courtyard is so cluttered, Rashi says, there's so much there, there's no room to push it away, but even on chalamoid, you're allowed to be bring it to the garbage. The Gemara says, you're allowed to take utensils and move them out from the place of the base of Uman, of the craftsman. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa says, Badak lan Rava. Rava said, had a question with us. He asked a question in the yeshiva. See, who knows the answer to this? Tanan. We learn in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, we said, Malichin Mavin, Kilim Asuman of Bisha'in and Latar Chamoid. You're allowed to bring them and take them back, even if it's not necessary for the actual chag that's coming up. The Gemara says that really true though. Rav asked a special question. Ramina, we have a stira with the following mission. The Mishnah in Moed Katan tells us, you're not allowed to bring them to the craftsman to fix them. And if the owner is concerned for them, you're not allowed to bring them back to your house. If you left them there and you had them fix them and it's now chalamoid, you're not allowed to bring them back to your house. But if you're afraid that the guy is going to steal them or use them improperly, you're afraid to leave them at the craftsman's house. So then, you should bring them to your friend's house that's near the craftsman. You shouldn't bring it to your house. So now, our Mishnah tells you that it's usher to bring it to your house, which is distant, and the Mishnah, and then our Mishnah says that it's seemingly mutter to bring it to your house. So which is it? Again, Moed Katan says usher, our Mishnah says mutter. The Gemara says Mashaninan. So then we answered Rav's question. We said, Lo Kasha, this isn't a Kasha. Kan Bar Basar, the Mishnah in our Mishnah, which is being Mekil, that's talking about Erev Pesach, Kan Mechal Shmoed. Whereas the Mishnah in Moed Katan is much more machbir, that talks about Chol Moed, then you should bring it to your friend's house and not bring it, which is closer, as opposed to Tircha Yisera of bringing it to your house. Whereas Erev Pesach, when I was machbir, you're allowed to bring it even back to your house, where the Uman, where the craftsman had fixed your kalim. So the Ibai Seimer can give another answer. Both cases are talking about Chol Moed, velo kasha, and there is no kasha. Kan be ma'amino. The Mishnah we're talking about is where the owner trusts the craftsman and the Tana therefore did not permit him to bring it home, and that's the Mishnah in Moed Katan. Kan b'shena ma'amino, and the Mishnah we're talking about over here is where he doesn't believe him, therefore you're allowed to bring it to your house. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya from this brisa. V'atanya, usually v'atanya is a kasha here, it's b'nechusa, and v'harei tzan, we learn in the brisa, mevien kelim b'beisa uman, that you're allowed to bring them from the house of the craftsman, chol moed kegon, hakad b'beisa kad, v'kos b'beisa zaga, get a pitcher from the potter's house, or a goblet from the glassmaker's house, v'lo tzemer b'beisa taba, however, not take wool from a dyer's house below kelim beis ha'uman, or not utensils from the craftsman's house. Elam ayochal, and if he doesn't have anything to eat, nosin loschara, you have to pay him your wages. Manicho etzlo, and you leave it with the craftsman. If the owner does not trust the craftsman, you should put it in the area next to the craftsman. If you're afraid that they're going to be stolen, you could bring them into your house carefully, secretly, so nobody sees it. And then the Mishnah continues. You, Rava, you've answered the contradiction between the Mishnah and Moed Katan with regards to Chol HaMoed, because Rava told us the Mishnayos are talking about the difference in the Mishnah is that one of them, the owner, doesn't trust the craftsman, and one of them does. So then you've answered that part. Malik and Kasha, however, you haven't given us the answer about taking them home. Why are you allowed to take them home and one night allowed to take them to the other? So the Gemara says, the Katani, the Mishnah tells us more. Katan, in Mivyan, we're not allowed to bring them back to your house. So Kol Shekein, Shein Malik, and obviously, then you're not allowed to take them on Chol HaMoed to be repaired. So our Mishnah says, however, that you are allowed to take them home. So what's the answer to that according to you, Rava? So the Gemara says, Elam Akurta Kadosh Meikara. So rather, we have to give the other answer that we said and not go like the Rava's answer because you don't answer the concept of bringing them back fully to your house. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up the Shisha Dvarim Shantzi Yashiricha, the Mishnah, tomorrow.